Good morning. Boy, everybody's lively this morning. If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there are a couple of announcements I want to bring attention to. One, thank you everybody that participated in the yard sale. I know it was a long, exhausting week, okay? And we thank you for it, okay? Also, next week, Pastor Walt and Annie are going to be out of town. Kathy and I are going to be out of town. And so Ronnie Sams is going to be up here filling in for me. And we're going to have the RUF pastor from App State will be here. Herron is his last name. What was his name? Rob Herron. I couldn't pull his first name out of my brain. But I've heard him preach, and I think you're going to get a real blessing out of his sermons. And also, as you notice in your bulletin, there is a little insert. It's time to think about officers coming up, nomination of officers. And currently serving as elders is myself, David Matheson, Tom Gibson, and Don Ferguson. Okay. And rotating off, right, unless we're renominated, is myself, Don Ferguson, and Tom Gibson. Okay. So if you know someone that, and feel that they would like to serve as an elder or qualified to serve as an elder or a deacon, talk to them and find out and get their blessings before you fill out this and send it to us, okay? And, there'll be no Wednesday night services this week, okay? So, any other announcements? Well, hearing none, if you would, take your bulletin and let's turn to the inside cover and do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is man who takes refuge in him. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I am not John Wood, as you probably know. I'm Kathy Penland. This is my husband, so if you did see us kind of kiss in the front here, it's because we're married. It's okay. It's all right. Okay. All right. Anyway, I want to call this service to the beginning, and so if you would stand and join me in our call to worship, which is printed on the inside of your bulletin.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just exalting your name and praising you and thanking you for the privilege of being here in your house to worship. We ask, Lord, that you bless each and every person who came through the doors today and ask that your Holy Spirit be here with us, Lord, just to anoint us, help us to draw closer to you and recognize that without you, we're nothing. We ask also, Lord, that you be with those who can't be here today for whatever reason. And talk about the shut-ins and the ones that listen over the internet and sometimes from the parking lot. And we just ask that you be with them, Lord. And bless us, guide us, direct us, and forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now, if you will remain standing, and if you'll turn to in your hymnals to number 129, Crown Him with Many Crowns. It's one of my favorite hymns.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As you know, we're going through the shorter catechisms, and we're going to do question 53 and 54 this morning. I'll read the question and do the answer that's printed in bold. 53 is, which is the third commandment?
The third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
What is required in the third commandment?
The third commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works.
And as we come to a time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
It wasn't listed in the bulletin, but what I'm singing today is called Offertory by John Ness Beck. The verse is actually from Micah 6, 6 to 8. And when you have a chance sometime either today, when I'm singing, that might be a good thing too, is go ahead and look up the verse. They are wonderful words. So please, when I'm singing, don't listen to me, listen to the words. Okay. Shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings? Shall I come before Him with you? Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your storehouse, and we ask, Lord, that you bless each gift and each giver. We ask that you help us as a church to use these funds wisely, Lord, and to bless those around us and to help expand your word, both here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, there's been a lot of activity around the church in the past week or two, and we just want to remember to thank everybody that's participated, first of all, in our special fellowship luncheon last Sunday, and everybody that brought things, and just a lot of events took place. A lot of good things happened last Sunday. Good hot dogs, for one thing. And then all week long, we've had people here working on the yard sale that was yesterday. And I want to pray this morning for those people that have given so much of their energy, so much of their time. I see some of you are here this morning, and it's like you must have come through the door without even opening it this morning, because, you know, so tired and worn out from everything that you've done. But we're grateful, just so thankful to you for all that you've done. We do have events that are still coming up. Don't forget our movie night, which is going to be the last Friday night of September. That's going to be a great time of fellowship together. A lot of good things happening, and we're grateful for that. We're thankful for it. So we do want to remember to pray for our church, and we want to pray for one another, for those special needs that we have. So let's go to our sovereign God, our Almighty Lord, and call upon his name. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are thankful and grateful to you that you cover us with your presence. Lord, I thank you for the safety that you provided yesterday. We had so many people come here to this church, and so many good things that happened. We're just grateful that you protected us from any evil. Father, we're thankful for those people that worked so hard, and we ask for the refreshing of your Holy Spirit today. And that the joy of the Lord might be their strength as they remember their contribution meant so much to this church. Our Father, we pray especially this morning for those who have come today with special physical needs, with pains or with problems, with difficulties physically. And we ask, Lord, as our great physician, that you would touch them and heal them from these problems, from these aches and pains. Lord, for those who may be listening over the internet or those on CDs, Lord, we pray and ask that you would touch them also and help heal them, strengthen them during this time. Our Father, we also pray for those who come this morning with emotional difficulties and problems, those who are struggling with fear, possibly fear of the future, fear of the circumstances that surround us in this day and age. And Lord, we know that your perfect love casts out that fear. And so that's what we ask for this morning, that you would save us from that fear and help us to stand strong, to not be afraid, but rather to stand up for that which is right and true. Our Father, we pray that for those who are struggling emotionally, who are going through difficulties, family problems, financial problems, Lord, you know what they are. We ask that your Holy Spirit might go around this congregation this morning, and that you would touch each person and help us, Father, to cast all of these anxieties onto you because you care for us. Our Father, we also pray today that you would help us keep our eyes on you through this time, that as we worship you, that your Holy Spirit might work in our hearts to draw us closer to you, that we would surrender ourselves to you and to your hands, that we might see your word working its work in us. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Now, if you would please stand, and we'll do this next hymn, Be Thou My Vision, number 176. If you can.
Thank you. seated.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning, and it's found in the Old Testament book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, and I'm reading verses 14 to 24. Joshua chapter 24, reading verses 14 to 24, and hear now the word of God. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river of the God, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. But if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And he said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, do you ever enjoy watching those television shows where somebody goes out into the public and they ask people questions? And it might be questions about their personal lives, or it may be questions about history. Remember Jay Leno used to do that. I think he called it People on the Street or something like that. But he would go up and he would ask them questions, and it kind of gave you an idea about where people's heads are today. You know, he'd ask them simple questions like, you know, who signed the Declaration of Independence, or, you know, who did America fight in the Revolutionary War? I mean, things that everybody should pretty much know. And people would come up with the most ridiculous answers. It's just, you know, it was funny. It was humorous. But also, there were times when he would ask people questions about God. And that's when you started to hear some very strange answers. In fact, if you go on the internet right now and type in interviewing people on the street about God, what do people say about God? And I did that this past week, and I listened to some of the strangest things. You know, there were many that, first of all, just said, well, I don't believe in God at all, and I don't believe in God, so I'm not the person to ask, you know, and they'd walk on. There were others that would say, well, I think God is just, it's a myth. It's something that people have come up with to try to explain where they came from and where they're going, and something that was designed by religious leaders to keep people in line. You know, if you do this, you'll be punished. And, you know, so it was that set of rules and regulations. And others believed that, well, yeah, there is a God. I believe that there's a God, but, you know, he's in heaven, and he doesn't have anything pretty much to do with what happens down here on earth. You know, he's just, he kind of created everything, and then he stepped out of the way, and he's kind of letting it play out over the centuries. And then there are others that believe, yeah, I believe there's a God, and I think he's cruel. I think he's unjust. He's not fair. He took my loved one away from me. He took my child away from me. And I believe he's very cruel. You know, so much of our perception about God comes from things that we watch in movies, sometimes things that we watch on television. Some of you may be familiar with a movie that was called Prometheus. It came out some years ago, a few years back. And basically, Prometheus portrays a godhead of five aliens, and these five aliens determine everything that happens in the universe. And they are not loving, they are not kind, they are not merciful, they're very cruel. And this became a big, big top-seller movie. So many people were influenced by this, and especially our teenagers, who are at a point when they're trying to determine what's real and what's not real. And this movie comes out talking about these aliens that are responsible for the creation of the earth, creation of everything good, and they've perverted it. That was Prometheus. And, you know, there's also television shows that kind of follow the same theme. Shows like Ancient Aliens. I don't know if any of you have ever watched Ancient Aliens. We were in a church not long ago, and we were having dinner with one of the leading couples in the church, and the wife was sharing with us about this television show that she was watching called Ancient Aliens, and it explained so many issues about where we came from and where we're heading, and you know, it was like, you're believing that? You're listening to those shows, and you feel like that's where we came from? And she said, well, I hope it's true, because I'm counting on it. It's like, wow. And, you know, the truth is that over the years, we've been encouraged to try to what's called syncretize our faith, to take a little bit from over here and a little bit from over there, and to try to sandwich it all together to come up with some sort of belief system that's compatible with what we think God should be. In a sense, God kind of becomes this composite of all these different theologies and all these different views. I'm sure some of you have seen bumper stickers that say coexist, and it has all the different religions, the symbols for the different religions there, and it's saying coexist. In other words, just open up your mind and accept everything. Coexist. Well, you see, this isn't a new situation. This is something that's been going on since the beginning of time. We read a text this morning, and I know that as I was reading it, you probably thought in your mind, well, that's pretty harsh. That seems really kind of harsh. I mean, Joshua is saying, look, you're not going to do this. You're not going to listen to this. Go ahead, just go your own way. And the people were saying, no, no, but we want to follow God. We want to listen to God. And he's saying, you can't do that. It's not in you to do that. Well, the story behind this basically is that Joshua, of course, was with Moses from the beginning. Joshua watched as Moses led the people out of Egypt, and he followed them. And during that time, he saw the people rise up against Moses time after time. Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments from God. And while he was gone, they built a golden calf to worship. And Joshua saw these things happen. He saw the people rise up against him in Meribah. He saw the people rebel and shake their fist at God, basically saying, God, why have you taken us out here to die in the desert? We miss our onions and our leeks, and we miss our food. And how come you took us out here to do this to us? What have we done to you, God? Joshua watched all that. He saw all that happen. And then there came a point when they were on the very edge of the promised land, and Moses passed the mantle on to Joshua before he died. And Joshua became the leader, and he led the people into the promised land. And during that time, he went through rebellions. He went through people complaining. He went through all these different things. And I think by the time he reached the point where he was ready to die, this is Joshua chapter 24. It's not long after this that Joshua, as it says, went the way of all flesh. Joshua passed away, he died, but before he did, he wanted to lay the cards out on the table for Israel. And he confronted them. You know, I believe that he was just heartsick over the fact that Israel kept running after other gods. They had the God of all creation. They had the God who made himself so evident to them. And yet it was like, I've had enough of you. I want to do this for a while. I want to try this over here. See if that works. And I think that Joshua was just heartsick over it. And basically he confronted them and he said, look, it boils down to a choice. And this is the choice. He said, if serving God is evil to you, if you think that serving God is evil in your eyes, then choose this day who you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. If you're not happy with what God's doing, if you don't think that God is the merciful, gracious, loving God that he claims to be, well then go on out there and find somebody to worship. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, I think that he began this by saying, basically, choose this day. Choose. Make a choice here. And there may be some people that look at this and use it to try to support a view of free will. That, well, see, here's Joshua giving free will to the people. You can choose God or you cannot choose God. That's free will. But see, you have to look at the fact that he was speaking to Israel. Israel had been chosen by God as his nation. So this is not about their salvation. This is not about those issues. This is about who it is that you're going to serve in life. Who are you going to support? Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, this is verses 3 and 4. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Even as he chose us in him. See, this speaks about a sovereign God. This is God sovereignly choosing those who will be his. And God has no failures. Joshua is speaking here about who it is that Israel will follow. Who will they listen to? He says this, if you want to serve the gods of your fathers, and who are the gods of their fathers? Who were the gods that Israel turned away to worship? Well, basically, they fell into three basic categories, and those were the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the sinful pride of life. The names of those gods were names like Baal, Dagon, Moloch. These were some of the gods that were being worshipped by the nations that surrounded Israel. And Joshua was saying, look, if you think these gods have the answers that you're looking for, then by all means, go and follow them. He wasn't intimidated by it. He was basically saying, I know that as you search high and low, you're not going to find a God that can come anywhere close to the living God. He is the Lord God, and he alone. If you think you have the answer, and you think that there's another place where you can go and get your needs met better than the living God, then go for it. Go ahead. Search it out. See what you can find. You know, I think back in the 60s and 70s, when we had the influx of religions, world religions coming in to the United States, especially through our teenagers, through groups like the Beatles and whatever, where they were encouraging people into transcendental meditation and all these other religious worships from other countries and lands. I think that people were in a tremendous search to try to find the truth. They were looking everywhere, especially the young people. And we can see the great impact that that had not only on our culture, but also on our churches, and how it became a time to challenge and became the time to throw everything up in the air and see what's real and what's true. Unfortunately, there are a number that rejected the truth from the beginning. No, I grew up in church. I grew up reading the Bible. I grew up in Sunday school and Bible school. I grew up with all these things, and that's not the answer. Well, somebody said the problem is that what happened was that they were inoculated by the truth. They didn't accept the truth. They had just enough to turn them against the real thing. You see, Joshua starts off by saying, if this thing is evil in your sight, if worshiping the living God to you is evil, well, then go find what isn't. Go search everywhere and see if you can find the truth. You know? See, we're told in Scripture, cursed is he who calls black white and white black, who perverts understanding, who suppresses truth and unrighteousness. And that's what we battle against, and that's what Joshua was battling against. So he basically says, then choose who it is that you will serve. See, I believe that in this, Joshua is recognizing the fact that all of us need to worship something. People can say, I don't believe in God, I don't go to church, I don't believe in Christianity, I don't believe in any of these things, but in their heart, they know that they have a need there to worship something. And when you don't have the living God, you create something else, and you worship that. We heard one person, Annie knew this person very well, who said, my God is my family. I worship my family. And so every Sunday, we go out as a family, and we go to the mountains, and we do this, and we do that. I worship my family. People will fill that need with something, something for them to worship. Here's something that the French mathematician and philosopher Blaise Pascal said. This is a quote from him from 1660. He said this: there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Blaise Pascal supposedly was the second most brilliant mathematician and philosopher in the world at that time. And this is what he knew to be the truth. There's a God-shaped vacuum in all of us, and we keep trying to fill it with things, fill it with the things of this world, and they never, never satisfy us. It never happens. Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, because you're either going to love the one and hate the other, you're going to serve the one and deny the other, but nobody can serve two. That's why Joshua was saying, choose this day whom you're going to serve. I know I've used this illustration before, but to me it's very personal and fits this situation very well. And that's the singer Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan certainly hasn't lived a life that would bring glory and honor to God, although there was a time in his life when he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord. And during that time, he made two different albums, and on those albums he had songs that showed a very sincere desire for God. One of the songs that he wrote during that time, which ended up winning a Grammy, by the way, a very special song, was You've Gotta Serve Somebody. And in this song, he starts out by saying, you know, you may be a congressman, you may be this, you may be that, but you got to serve somebody. And he kept going through, you can be a construction worker, you can be a teacher, you can be a doctor, you can be all these things, but you got to serve somebody. And he kept pushing that point, but you got to serve somebody. In fact, the chorus of this says, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You see, he was hitting the nail on the head right there. He was saying to the American public and all those who would listen, the very same thing that Joshua was saying. Choose this day, and you're going to serve who it is that you'll serve. See, the truth is that we're being called on to make a choice in our lives. No man can serve two masters. And we're tempted to follow the same gods that the Israelites were tempted to follow in our lives right here. Just to name a couple of them, and this is by no means exclusive, but Moloch was a god of control. He was a god of power, a god of force, a god of war. There was no love or mercy in Moloch. He's the one that demanded child sacrifices. He was very cruel, but he was known for his iron fist. And they worshiped him. And then there was Baal. There were a number of different Baals, but they all represented basically sexual pleasure. They represented violence, murder. All these were passions, and that's what Baal represented, was human passion. And there was the gods that represented mammon. There were a number of them. But they represented greed and theft and corruption. These were the gods that the Israels were tempted to follow rather than following the living God. And they would make representations of them, and they would worship those representations. Do you wonder why God was so upset? Why he said, have no other gods before me? Don't make unto yourself any graven image. You see, the world says that we can have it all. That we can go ahead and participate in all these different things and at the same time call ourselves Christians and believers, even though all week long we're living in a way that denies our testimony. And Joshua is saying, choose. You got to choose between these things. See, God knows our heart. Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy, and this is also one that we've looked at before, but it fits. Think about those gods that I just mentioned and think about what they represent. And this is what it says, but understand this, that in the last days there'll come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. You see, it fits right into the same categories of the gods that Israel was tempted to follow after. And that's why Joshua was so upset. It's like, how can you turn away from a God who has been so merciful and so gracious to you and who's calling on you to come after him? How can you give that up and follow the evil of this world? Of course he was upset. He knew his time was limited. And he could see what was going on. And I'm sure it broke his heart. But the world says we can have it all. We can have all those things and yet still call ourselves Christians. And Joshua wasn't buying it. He said, no, you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to make a choice. And he was saying, if you want to go that way, then go that way. It'll be the worst decision you've ever made. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. So, you know, who is it that we're going to serve? Who will we serve? We've got a lot of choices to make here in our country, here in our church, as far as what direction we're going to move in. Who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to follow? You know, we have people all around us who are telling us, this is what you have to do. You have to do this. Well, that's nothing new. They told that to Peter and John, and they said, you're going to have to stop preaching. You have to stop mentioning this name of Jesus. And Peter said, well, whether we should serve you or we should serve the Lord, that's your choice. As for us, we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to stand firm on what God has called us to do. He's in charge of the consequences. The days ahead are going to be rough days. And I know you hear me say this from time to time, but in my heart I know it's true. This what we're going through right now is far from over. There are those who are trying to shut down the churches, shut down the proclamation of the gospel. And you say, well, what leads you to say that? Australia has kind of been a test bed for what's happening around the world. They do things in Australia to try to test out the public reaction, and if it works, then it starts to spread all over. Well, this past week in Australia, some of you may have seen this announced, but they want to put checkers at the doors of all the churches to make sure that everybody that enters has received the proper number of vaccinations and that they are wearing the appropriate masks and whatever before they can go in and worship the Lord. So that means that if somebody doesn't have it, they're sent away. Now, there's a reaction against that. People are fighting against it. But what happens if they do that here? Do we comply? Do we go along with it? Did Peter and John go along with it? There comes a time when we have to make a choice. Whether we're going to listen to those loud voices that are screaming at us about what we have to do, or whether we listen to the Lord and we follow Him. Choose this day whom you will serve. The big question is, how do we know? How do we know what it is that the Lord's saying? Well, see, last week we read a verse that was in Isaiah chapter 55, and it says this. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord. That's the Lord calling us. That's the Lord saying, ask me, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Come to me. Don't just push me away. Don't put me in a box while you're out following other gods. Don't do that. Call upon me, seek me while I'm near to you. I want to encourage everybody that no matter what we pass through as God's people, He will not forsake us, that He will be here with us, that He will watch over us, He will protect us. And again, I know that there are those who have differing opinions, and I'm not even going to try to answer any of those, but I feel like in my heart that each one of us has to search the Lord's heart and be confident in our own hearts that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. And once we're confident of that, then don't listen to the voices that are screaming. Trust the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, it is our desire to serve you. Lord, we don't want to serve the gods of this world. We don't want to be influenced by the power-hungry people or by those who would seek to push us away from worshiping you. Lord, instead, we ask that your Spirit might protect us and keep us close to you, that we would serve you, that we would choose this day to be your people and to follow after you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Well, if you haven't been fed by that, I don't know what you can't do else. As for me and my household, we will follow the Lord. Amen. 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 All right. Would you please stand and turn to number 78? This will be our benediction. We will sing the first three verses, and then we'll have our benediction, and we'll sing the fourth one afterwards. Good. Please stand.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.